before we get started with today's podcast, I just wanted to thank you guys for spreading the love, telling a friend, and letting him know about our little podcast in Agriturismo out here in the middle of nowhere, Italy. Thank you, guys. Without you, there'd be no reason to talk into these microphones. All right, let's get going. You are listening to the La Tavola Marche Radio Network. Good afternoon and buona domenica, Ashley.
Ciao, Jason. Come stai?
Molto bene, grazie. Today, thank you so much for joining our podcast from Italy. Today is the 21st, a Sunday, and we are doing a very rare afternoon podcast because today the kitchen is closed and I am feeling lazy.
Yeah, you are. You took a long nap. You're like, I don't think I'm going to weed whack.
Oh my God, the list of chores is long. Well, let's set it up.
All right, regroup.
Well, set it.
All right. You're listening to the podcast from Italy with myself, Ashley, and my husband, Jason. And we run a farm, inn, and cooking school in lovely rural La Marche. And here on our inconsistent podcast, we chat about our life, food, happenings, and nothing.
Basically, all things going on in Italy.
Uh-huh.
Today, Sunday, Sunday is usually the get done everything that you didn't get done during the weekday. So I rode around on the lawnmower a little this morning. I have to clean the chicken coop. I needed to do some weed whacking. And a three-hour nap was not on the list of things to do today.
No, but it felt good.
Did feel good. We have a house. We are being invaded by the Northern Europeans this
week.
Yes,
Dutch, Belgium, Danish. We are practicing our Dutch, which is good, but
no, it's not.
It's not good. We can swear and we can say like sleep well enough to like make the children laugh and the parents feel like more comfortable. But
we have a lot of little blonde kids.
That's what I was going to say, which means I wish we had tomatoes to pick because those little hands do a good job out there.
Yep. I took everyone down to the garden, all the little kids down to the garden, and we picked some things and they saw what a potato plant looks like and they ate a cucumber off the vine and all that stuff. They all kind of look at you like you pick something and offer it to them and they look at you like, I don't know. And so you have to eat it first to show them that it's okay.
The other day, one of the parents was cracking up because I was taking the chickens to bed and I do my, come on, come on. And I take my bucket down and, you know, 18 hens come zipping around and follow me back down to the coop. And these parents were sitting watching, having a little aperitivo, and some of the children were helping me kind of wrangle up the hens, and I took all these hens down, and I came back with a bunch more kids than I went down with, and they thought it was hysterical. They were like, you put the hens to bed, but you brought, you know, you're this chicken wrangler, but you've rounded up some children along the side, too. It's fun, though.
So speaking of the hens are doing well this year.
They are.
Except we had two who didn't. We've had
two hen deaths.
Yeah.
Turducken had a heart attack or something. I don't even know. Turducken, we didn't expect her to live very long because she was so weird.
Yeah. I think they had the two chickens that died had problems with their egg production and they were not.
Well, the turducken kind of walked like a penguin, someone had mentioned online. And the other hen was while we had the chicken whisperer here, that old guy from Slovakia, and who would come down and the hens would come to him and like sit on his lap. It was so weird.
No, it was awesome.
No, it was awesome, but it was like just, oh my God, how are they doing this? And he would like talk to him and call to them and coo. And he was trying to explain that something was wrong with one of the hens. And I just thought she was sleeping. I was like, oh yeah, it's fine. And he's like, no, she's going to die. And sure enough, I look it up. She did. We had to put her out of her misery.
Yeah, she was suffering the next day.
She had like, for a lack of, without looking it up, since we don't do our research for this show, I call it egg yolkitis.
The yolks were not going into the eggs. So
exactly.
She was poisoning herself, basically.
It like gets stuck in the intestinal tract or something. I don't know. It's horrible. So with 18, well, we did have 20 hens. It's hard to be monitoring their eggs or to know which one is which. So I had seen some eggs that were not having hard shells or some kind of weird looking eggs, but I just thought it was from new producers. And that was, I guess, one of the telltale signs. And once they get all kind of engolfiato, like swollen. Then that's already too late.
So out of 20, we lost two, but I guess that's par for the course. Mm-hmm. But everyone else is doing well.
Yeah, they're doing good. They really are good coming home this year.
They really are. We're letting them out. Instead of letting them out to roam free all day like we've done in the past where they nest, then they start nesting and tearing everything up, we let them out after lunch.
Once they've laid.
And they have plenty of room during the morning to walk around. I mean, the little playpen is huge. But
oh, yeah. And I think once it gets to be fall and it's not so hot, we could let them out a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. But it's in the middle of the heat when it's so hot, they look for dirt and to make these kind of dirt baths that they dust baths.
And they love potted plants.
Oh, my God. You turn the corner and like 3 pots are knocked over and there's just like 4 hens inside of one pot. And they're like, meow. You're just like, shit. As Carolyn would say, Jesus.
We can't let the rooster out anymore because he's attacking children.
I don't know why. He was a nice guy. No problems so far. I think the testosterone started getting to him and too many people. I don't know. Yeah, he's got too many hens to look after. He chased a little girl and we had to stop.
Yeah, so we let all the hens out, but we leave him in and he is not happy about
no.
that.
Some people weren't liking it.
No, he's not liking it. I don't know what to do because I really like having the rooster. I love hearing him crow. I do like it, but I can't have him attacking children.
No,
so.
And right now you have to put him in the coop because
I'm
dominant.
The alpha chicken. Uh-huh. Yeah,
he knows.
He does not mess. He doesn't even look twice at me.
No, and he runs up when I go in. Like, he's not so aggressive with me, but you guys have it down, you and him.
Oh, we have an understanding. Mm-hmm. I'll put my foot in it on his head if he attacks me. He did it once, and we had it out, and I punted him, and that's it.
Done.
We're good. We have an understanding. But I don't know what to do. I don't want to kill him. Now would be the time because he could still be eaten because he's a young rooster. So it would probably be pretty good.
I know. We just don't have time. I mean, we could have done it today.
We could have done a lot of things today.
I didn't want to have you stick your hand in the middle of a chicken body. Or I didn't want to start doing boiling water to pull out the feathers.
No, and
like
I don't
want to
kill him. He's
heat.
Pretty.
That's gross.
He's pretty. He's black. He's salt and pepper. And he does a good... There he is. He crows.
I wish you guys could hear him.
But he's definitely upset. He throws a little temper tantrum every day when I let the hens out and keep him in.
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
No, not at all. Not at all.
There's some raping to do. But as soon as the hens come back in, he gets real excited and has to like run around and kind of dance for them all. Yeah. But
the weather has been beautiful.
Nothing like last year.
No, we were looking at the weather from last year where it would be every day would be above 30 or above 90. And this year, it's always in the mid-20s, the nice little breeze, a little afternoon shower sometimes. So much, much milder summer this year. Everything's still green. So that's good.
Well, it makes it that you're not miserable in the middle of the day. It was just so hot. You felt so tired. We really can be running around from 7 to noon and then again from like 3 to 11. So it's not so bad.
Lots of stuff. This festival season has definitely kicked off. We've sent all of our guests out tonight since the kitchen is closed to different festivals around the area.
Yep. One of my favorites is today. The Palio de Sumaro.
De Sumaro?
Well, that would be many. It's one of the donkey. So
it's a donkey race.
It's a donkey race. Everyone's heard of the famous Palio in Siena.
Why do you say it like that?
Because I saw that special and like said that. remember that like Discovery Channel special or something? That it was like the National Geographic shows and they did that great thing on the Palio. Which is a famous horse race that lasts like 2.5 minutes.
In Siena, where they put dirt on, they fill the piazza with dirt. It's ancient. They've been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years, right?
Yeah, and it's just one lap in the, it's just like, it means everything. One lap around the piazza and...
Each neighborhood has an entry. They hire the riders.
Yeah, and... Aren't the tickets like to sit in the sweet spots?
Oh, I have
insane.
Anyway, you can't move.
Yeah, and you can't move. Well, if you like the idea of a race around the city, check out Mercatello Sumataro, one of our neighboring villages, for the donkey race because it's hysterical. 3 donkeys race with 3 riders, and they
was it only 3?
Yeah, red, green, or red, blue, and yellow.
It wasn't the tricolor?
No. And they have a whole parade and festival. It's also the Sagra di Tagliatelle, the Feast of Tagliatelle, the cut pasta of the area. And it's really fun. If anyone watched Jamie Oliver's, what was it called?
I don't know, where he goes through Italy on the
I can't remember what it was called.
The Volkswagen bus.
When he turned 30 and he did this special, YouTube it. And he goes to Mercatello su Mataro and makes tagliatelle. It's great. So that's the village that we live right by.
What else?
There's also in Gradara, which is north of here, about an hour and a half near Riccione area, still in the Marche. Gradara is one of the most beautifully intact castles and castle walls of the area. And they do a thing like every Thursday of like the restorming of the village. And we're never able to go to that because we have our pizza night. But tonight, they all weekend, they were doing a thing as if it was 1445. And they redecorated the whole city, and everyone's in costume. So I think some guests are going up there for that. And then there's tons of festivals along the sea, from Pesaro and Senegalia, the Festa di Mare. There's a ton of stuff going on.
So it's definitely the time to come to La Marche. And even though we knocked Marche and Festa last week, it was correct this week, I hope?
Correct, I think.
How many restaurants did you send guests to last week that were closed?
Enough that a Frenchman said, perhaps tomorrow you can recommend a place to me that is closed. It was so funny. I tried to set up to a festival at two different restaurants and they were all closed for like their own holiday, or I forgot it was Monday. I felt horrible. It was like, oh man, I'm sorry. Perhaps you can suggest
so
another
even
place
for
that
us,
is closed.
Even for us, it's hard. You never know.
Well, I still never know the day of the week, so that's part of the problem. But, and speaking of website stuff, I just wanted to apologize for anyone who's been following our blog that it's been not updated as recently as usual. We've been so busy, and I've been working on the book in spare time and just kind of posting a random photo on Facebook here and there that I haven't had the time to really sit down and do the blog posts like normal. So hopefully in the next month or so, I'll be able to catch back up and get back on track.
That doesn't sound like a vote of confidence.
No, hopefully. I think so. I think so.
All right.
Let's segue that into press, speaking of the blog.
Oh, man. So yesterday we get a call from one of our friends saying, oh, we saw your article in Corriere della Sera, like the one of the big afternoon national newspapers. They have a travel section every Friday.
It's called Sette. I don't know. It's
probably
page
like 7.
It's like the pullout.
Yeah, the insert.
Pullout.
It's the insert at the end of the week. And we had a beautiful, we had no idea. No one contacted us to ask us any questions.
No official interview.
Nothing. It was just like, oh, there was a beautiful two-page, full-color, feature about us with all the whole article.
Yeah, as if it was an interview style. And I was thinking, pretty much it's right, but it was bizarre because I thought, who interviewed us? Who is this writer? I mean, the guy who took the pictures, Alessandro Moggi, who is the famous photographer who came to do pictures of us for Financial Times.
Yeah.
And he was asking us a bunch of questions, but he never said it was going to be an interview for the paper.
He's not a writer. He's a photographer.
So I don't know who wrote this or where they got their information. However,
it's a double-edged sword.
Really weird. Your thoughts, Jason.
Okay, well, if...
Without sounding trite.
If we were in America, this would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because...
It'd be like USA Today, sweet.
Any press is good press. However, here in Italy, it makes me nervous because everyone that you talk to complains about no one has guests. There's no one who has, whether it's an agriturismo or a hotel on the sea, everyone's struggling. And this article that they wrote basically says how full we are and...
No, it says something... I can't remember the exact quote. Something about...
How do we deal with the Italian bureaucracy?
How do we battle the bitter taste in our mouth and of the Italian bureaucracy? We combat it by being fully booked.
So the reason this scares me is that I really would like to stay under the radar in Italy. I would like for...
No flags.
No flags to fly up. The problem with getting... something like this is that who knows who reads it? Maybe someone who has an agriturismo around here, or someone who has, oh, the fully booked, huh? I wonder if they're following every single law and every single rule that needs to be followed. Perhaps my cousin Giuseppe should go down there. He works for the health department. Maybe he should, and I'm making that up, yeah. I have no idea. Maybe he should go out down there and make sure the Americans are following all the rules that we have. And it raises flags. It's very nice. It's wonderful. I really like it. I like that it is
this double-edged sword. Like he's trying to say, because it is overwhelming to see that Italians would respond to us being here. I mean, the name of the article is From the U.S. with Love, but the kitchen is Italian. Like this great idea of these, and that it's the story, the contrary story of Italians moving away to find fortune and success. We are strangers who moved here to find a better life. And
it's a great human interest story.
It's a great human interest story, but it's kind of scary at the same time to see, because you don't want too many people knowing.
Jealous. You don't know if there's jealousy or I don't know.
It's weird.
Being in Italy now 6 years has made me understand how things work. And in America, if no matter how your business is doing, you could be 2 days away from the creditors banging down the door and taking everything you own. If someone asks, "Hey, how's it?
Great,
it's doing great.
It's awesome. Good. Awesome. Business is good.
Picking
up.
We're doing well. Here in Italy,
vacation in Hawaii.
Yeah, here in Italy, it's the exact opposite. You can have €1 million under your bed, and you never ever would say that things are going well. You wouldn't. You don't. You're not pessimistic, but you just don't show your cards. How are things? Oh, better. You know, it's a struggle every year.
We're getting by.
Every year, it's harder and harder. It's just this. You play. You downplay it. You don't.
I think you nailed it on the head. That you hit it on the head. You don't show your cards.
You don't show your cards. Mm-hmm. And I would never, when people ask me in town how things are going, I always say the same thing.
Which, that is so hard for me. I want to perk up and be so proud and be so happy and always optimistic.
It's not like we're killing, like we're making a living. We're comfortable.
Yeah. No. But I'm proud of what we do, and happy of the guests we have. But it is this weird thing to go, oh, it's okay. You know, it's piano.
Yeah. It's much more difficult this year than last. And you just kind of, because you don't know. What if you're talking to someone who has, you know, they have an agriturismo and it's empty.
Most people do.
Yeah.
Or someone in their family does.
So I don't know how to feel about this article. In one way, it's like, whoa, check it out. We got this huge, we got a beautiful 2-page article with a beautiful huge picture in a big national newspaper. I should be happy, but all I can think about is, oh my god, this is gonna raise flags.
And I was so excited because we got an email from my favorite. I'm talking into the mic.
I have to constantly yell at Ashley because what she doesn't understand. I'm sorry to segue from this. When these microphones, when you talk directly into them, it's fine, but Ashley talks animated, so she will be talking and then the microphone will get away from her mouth. And then she moves her hands. And if you can hear how, while I'm talking, I move my hands, the levels of the sound go up and down and up and down. It's really hard when I go to put it all together to make the levels of her voice the same. So I have to constantly yell at her every time she starts talking. Put the stupid thing in front of your face.
I'm holding both hands on the microphone and my arms are at my size. This is the closest I can really be. I'm surprised I can even be talking still with this little movement.
By the way, the levels, my level is a full 10 numbers below the level I have it for Ashley. So Ashley's is a whole third less sensitive the microphone than mine because the how she talks. Anyway, keep going.
I was going to... Oh, my... I think my contact's going to pop out. We had an email from Andrea Bussati, I think is his name, the milkman who we love so much.
Oh, who made makes latte crudo, the raw unpasteurized
on. Yes, and he's the one who emailed me about that being in the article and said that it was beautiful and that we were, great ambassadors for the area and that we should start having cows so we can make cheese. And I just thought it was really sweet. I wrote him back, either pigs for sausages or I don't think we'll end up with cows. That's way too big of a beast.
That's a lot of work. But that's our little, this just happened not a few hours ago.
Yeah. So we're still kind of buzzing.
And Ashley posted it up on Facebook. It's all on in Italian, but you can throw it through a translator and check it out. It's nice. It's great.
Yeah, I wish I had a link. I just have a photo of the page from a friend who had sent it to me. But
and of course, we don't have a hard copy.
No,
because we had no idea.
Yes. What else? Oh, by the way, BTW, if you are, you probably wouldn't be listening to this today because we probably won't post it till tomorrow. But Sunday is National Gelato Day. So
is that true?
Get your gelato on. A little shout out to Maki.
We're stuck in the house today because we have guests returning. We should be getting out of here. I want to go somewhere this afternoon to just get out of the house for 5 minutes. But
part of why we close the kitchen on Sundays is for Jason to have a night without being in the kitchen so we can have a whole day of doing other work and stuff. But also so we can get out of the house one night a week. I rarely leave.
It's also hard to do menu planning for guests when I have to know if they're going to have dinner Friday for Sunday.
Big time.
And it's because everything's closed.
Can you explain that?
Well, I do everything every day from scratch. So I must do the shopping for Saturday and Sunday on Saturday because Sunday everything's closed. So if I don't know on Friday night, because I leave first thing in the morning on Saturday to go to the shops, if I don't know if you're going to have dinner here on Sunday, Friday night, I can't plan for it. And it's just a giant disaster.
And it's hard to, sorry to pipe in, it's hard to ask guests who are on vacation and they don't know what they're doing. In 2 days, would you like dinner? We need to know right now.
We need to know right this minute. And then it turns into an absolute cluster F because if one signs up for Sunday, then Sunday night rolls around and all the other families or guests will be like, oh, we'd like dinner too.
Yeah.
And I can't, there's nowhere to go. It's like, I have no access to anything. I mean, there's some lettuce and veggies in the garden, but if you want a full on dinner, I can't plan for it. And I don't want to just buy a whole bunch of stuff and stick it in the freezer because we don't have space like that. And you come all the way out here. You don't want to eat meat pulled out of the freezer.
No.
You don't want to eat sauce that I had to make last week and freeze and then pull it out. That's ridiculous. So one day a week, it's better. It keeps me a little bit more sane to not have to be in the kitchen seven days.
Less chance of a temper tantrum.
Yes, I definitely won't throw a temper tantrum and threaten to cut my arm off.
Well, last year was just so hot.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
90 days above 90.
Yeah.
This is so much better. But yeah, so Sunday, we're waiting around for a guest to arrive. They said they should be here around 5. That could be 5 on the dot. It could be noon. Well, it's past noon. We had that happen. A guest told us they'd be here at 5. We had guests exiting. We thought, oh, great. We've got time to clean their room. They show up super early. And I was like, oh, my God. It all works out. But they could also be here at 8 o'clock at night, which means we're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Oh, I'm counting on us not going anywhere anytime.
I know. I wanted to go to that dinner in Piobico tonight.
Ashley wanted to go to a dinner in Piobico from a some famous chef.
From Ulysses?
There's this place called Ulysses on the Senegalia.
Mm-hmm. In Senegalia.
Who is the only Michelin-starred chef of Le Marque. And he's doing a dinner up at this place, Sloconda?
No, at Il Cantuccio.
Oh,
they're
sorry.
Just setting up at a little wine bar in Anoteca. This guy Mirko is great, and he's trying to really do Sunday events in the area, which is – I love it because last Sunday he did a wine tasting at the castle and I was able to go. So I thought, sweet, keep doing them Sundays and I can come. But
so here's my reasoning. Would you like to hear a 33-year-old sound like an 80-year-old?
Parking.
No, parking. Get out of here. The dinner doesn't start till almost 9, and then
where am I gonna park?
Starts at 9, and then you don't get out of there till almost midnight, and then I'm gonna be tired. I don't know. I just don't feel like the one day a week where I don't have to touch food. I don't feel like going and sitting and having this huge meal drawn out. That would mean I have to shave and get put on
nice
clothes.
Yeah, you'd have to socialize too,
and I would have to socialize. I play Jolly. I'm on 6 days a week. Jolly Bartner.
This is true.
So I just don't feel like I don't even really want to talk to you right now.
Oh, snap. What else? Well, what do you want to talk about?
I would like to talk about, let's talk about what is going on in the garden. The garden is doing really well this year. Everyone's garden is doing really well this year.
The tomatoes, we're almost there.
Tomatoes are getting ready. Onions we've been eating. Lettuces, cucumbers, zucchinis, beans.
You pulled up potatoes today.
Today we pulled up our first potatoes. So everything's producing really nicely. The garden looks really well maintained this year, actually. and I'm very happy.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. What's a great summer recipe to share for the podcast right now? Since I haven't been updating the blog, I thought maybe you could share something on here.
Let's see. What have I been doing that I've really liked? Oh, what about the grilled eggplant with the peppers and...
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
So we do this dish that's kind of two parts. One part is grilled eggplant that you just cut. You cut the big eggplant into rounds, salt it, wash it, pat it dry, and then grill it. Over the barbecue.
Sorry to interrupt. When you salt it, how long do you leave the salt on? Because I've noticed you have it on the little rack.
An hour, two or so. You'll see it start sweating.
Okay.
You'll see the water start coming out of it. Then you just rinse it and pat it dry.
Okay.
No oil, no nothing, no. Just on the grill, low heat until it's soft. Put that to the side. While your eggplant is sweating under with the salt on top of it, you're going to take some peppers. I usually do a red pepper and a yellow pepper. You're going to take out the middle and then slice it nice and thin so you have long pieces of pepper. Throw that into a bowl. With that, put a spoonful or two of capers. If you don't like capers, put some chopped up olives, whatever. A pinch, a nice big fat pinch of salt. A couple of tablespoons of vinegar and the leaves and some parsley leaves. Toss that together and let it sit. What that's going to do is the acid and the salt is going to break down the peppers and almost cook them. It's going to make them soft and kind of flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Grill your eggplant. Then you're going to take whatever kind of soft cheese you like. I either use mozzarella di bufala, fiori di latte, burrata. It doesn't matter.
Cut something soft.
Something soft and creamy. Cut slices of the cheese. Overlap the cheese and the eggplant around a plate. Then you're going to take your mixture, your peppers and acid mixture. You're going to add twice the amount of olive oil as you did of the red wine vinegar. Give it a taste. Make sure it's not too oily or vinegary. Hit it with a crack of pepper. And then put the vegetables in the middle of the plate with the black and the white around the edges. And then take that dressing and drizzle it over everything. Serve that. It is awesome.
It's so good. I didn't realize you don't do anything to the eggplant before.
Salt it and grill it. You don't need salt. You don't need salt in this dish at all because you have salt in the peppers and the eggplant salt.
Mm-hmm.
A little crack of pepper.
Yeah, because it's like perfectly salty.
And it's even better the next day.
We've eaten
it 2 days in a row now on just toasty bread, the leftovers.
And it looks gorgeous. I keep thinking this is one of those pictures people love, is like the stacked sandwich of it's toasted bread, the cheese, the mozzarella, the eggplant, the peppers. It looks gorgeous, all the colors.
Make it ahead of time. You can make the peppers and mixture the day before and just let it sit in the fridge. I mean, it's just cooking with the acid, and it's a really simple, beautiful, beautiful summery dish. Everything from the garden.
I love it. Thanks, Jason.
Oh, you're welcome, Ashley.
I like that though. I like when you share the recipe or those tidbits about why.
Yeah. Coming up this week, what do you got going?
Gosh, I don't even know. I feel at a blank. We're doing like those kind of fun dinners for families since we've got all the families here.
Yeah, we've made a little week for the families this week. So tomorrow, because it's hard for these people with all these kids to eat these big, long, drawn out dinners every night.
Yeah, there's kids who are like 6 and 10 and...
They don't want to sit through 6-7 courses and they don't have the attention span. So what we're going to do this week is we've done a little mini kind of personalized. It's not really personalized, but we just put a little package together, a little week package. So tomorrow we're going to do I made homemade sausages. So we're going to do pesto pasta,
which I know is just
I hate
you
that.
Hate it so 90s, or I don't know why you hate it so much.
I'll do pasta genovese. Pasta genovese is wonderful. It's penne pasta, boiled potatoes that you then take the skins off, cut it into chunks, olives that you cut in half, and pesto. And sometimes if I'm feeling really crazy, I'll throw some blanched green beans in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's delicious.
Toss it together with
pesto, thin the pesto out with a little olive oil, and it's not even a hot pasta. It's like warm.
It's warm. And the potato and pasta together.
You would never think double starch would go.
God, I love double starch. I love potato on my pizza. I love potato in my pasta. My hips are feeling it.
And that's a good one. And we'll serve that with some grilled homemade sausages and a little watermelon. Done.
Speaking of pesto, you were saying, I think, that our arugula didn't take, because I was hoping you could make some of that arugula walnut pesto.
I'll put some more down. It'll be once fall comes around.
Did it bolt or it just never took?
It just did. We had it when I put it down. We were still having, it was still in May when that weird weather, you know, the weird cool weather, and it just never really took. But let's see. And then Tuesday
we have a pasta class.
Yeah. And then Wednesdays we're open. Thursday will be
pizza night.
And then Friday we plan something else. Oh, Friday market trip. That's right. That's right. Oh, speaking of Friday market trip, we've had, as you cast a bigger and bigger net. Do you want to talk about this?
Sure.
As you cast a bigger and bigger net, as you get more and more people who aren't as invested in your story, who just come across you on the website or TripAdvisor or whatever, you're getting people who aren't as emotionally invested in us.
We're just one of the many locations they're looking at.
More of just, instead of saying, oh, we're going to visit these Ashley and Jason, these Americans, blah, blah, blah. It's just, we're going to stay at some farm in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You get more cancellations. And
Holy,
we have gotten a ton of cancellations this year. Last minute cancellations.
Wonderful.
Which really, for a small business like us with only 5 apartments, where we don't get walk-ins. We don't get people off the street who just drive by and need a place to stay. Most of our guests book months and months and months and months in advance. So to get someone cancel a week away is devastating to us.
Totally. And we have no recourse because as a small business, not to get into too many kind of business details, we can't really take a credit card number without the credit card to charge it.
We can't do a manual credit card charge.
So there is not a whole lot of, like Jason, like we're saying, recourse, except for good integrity that someone would send us the cancellation, you know, fee. We have no way to get it from them if they decide not to show up. I shouldn't even be saying that. But
we had a single woman a couple of weeks ago who canceled on a whole week with cooking classes and all that at the very last minute. We were doing our market trip on Friday last week, and at Three Top, the night before, cancels on us. We make reservations with the restaurants or whatever, and if we cancel last minute, I'm obligated to pay something, because just like us, they're counting and they're making this food for the reservations that they have. Now, if I was just a tourist coming through, I wouldn't think twice, but I live with these people.
Yeah.
These are our friends. These are the people that we work with on a daily basis. And if I can't our guests can screw us over, I can't screw them over. So this is now, not only do we lose the revenue, now it's costing us money.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And I don't know. We're going to have to figure something out for next season.
We really are something.
The cancellations have gotten out. I mean, we would always get a couple a year.
Maybe two for the whole
year. Two or three for the whole year. And that, it happens. You know, people get sick. People can't come, blah, 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 blah. That's understandable. But it just seems like this year has been, not every time, but, you know, you open your email.
There's been a handful.
Like,
it's
been noticeable.
Yeah.
And
unfortunate.
Yeah. And there's nothing we can do about it. And it's something that we have to fix for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to make a reservation with a small inn or a small place, please honor your reservation.
Don't screw them.
Because these people don't have 300 rooms. We are not the Hilton or this big hotel that doesn't really care. You know, whatever, we'll fill it. It hurts a lot, and it makes it so we only have really 12 or 14 weeks a year that we really have a busy season, and to lose one fifth of your business for that week is huge.
Yeah.
All right, Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer. So don't cancel, guys.
Yeah, please don't cancel.
What's something on a more? Oh, I know a fun thing to say. We had some guests who, I guess I'm kind of mix master DJ of the house, and I put some really good, awesome dinner mixes and cooking class mixes together. I'm kind of proud of it. What can I say? It's very eclectic, but it's awesome. And some guests were telling me about a website called Spotify, and I'm going to go on there and check it out and try to excuse me, put our playlists on there and be able to kind of like promote a song a week or put out, you know, when I send guests the link to the recipes from their cooking class, to send them a link to the music from their cooking class too, which
that would be super cool.
I know. That's what I'm thinking I'm going to do. I think that'd be really cool because then they'd get to, when they're cooking at home, they can listen to the same music too and put on their dinner party or feel like, oh yeah, Son Italiano Vero, or, you know, whatever it is. It's kind of nice. So I'm really excited. I'm going to check that out and get into that a bit.
All right. Coming up next week, we have to figure out a day to go get olive oil. I am totally out of olive oil. We need to head down to Yesi or where is or, no, just it's south, Ostra.
Osimo.
Osimo. South of Ancona to our Frontoyo, where we like to go, the olive oil maker, where we like to go and re-up for our olive oil. And this is getting to be emergency levels.
How much do you want to get?
I would like to get 30 liters. I'd like to get 60 liters.
We have three containers.
Oh, we have three. That's right. So I would maybe like 60 liters total of three different types. So maybe 20, 20, 20.
Cool.
Right now I'm just getting olive oil from, usually I have three types, like a very green olive oil that's spicy, a very
Campo di Lavoro.
Well, that was just last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I usually get a spicy green olive oil, a floury, buttery, very aromatic olive oil, and then one kind of in the middle of the two.
Yeah, sometimes it's a blend. Yeah, the one in the middle.
Yeah, one in the middle of the two. And then, of course, I have olive oil that I cook with. But I'm talking about our finishing oils.
So yeah, the good stuff.
The good stuff. So I have been out of the good finishing oils, which stinks because I love doing olive oil tastings. I love showing people. And it's really interesting when you line up the oils, how different they taste next to each other. But we are. I had to go to the grocery store and buy olive oil yesterday.
I know. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I know. So we've got to get – and it's hard because we don't have a whole – You know,
we might have Sunday off, but
they're closed.
Everything's closed.
Or we might have a night off where no one really wants dinner, but someone's arriving, so it's not, you can't take off. And Osimo is probably going on an hour and a half almost south, so it's really a day. I mean, you have to, after breakfast, maybe if breakfast ends at 10, we can't go because we won't go. They're going to close at noon or 12:30 or something. So we'll have to call and make an appointment with them and say,
that's what we have to do for sure.
Just say, look, we're going to be there closer to one. If you can just please wait, and we're going to just come in, buy the oil and get out of there.
Yeah. I forgot we need that.
Yep.
It's time to go re-up mid-season.
Yep. We have to also go back to the big bulk store. We need more, all these fun things. TP, we need salt, we need just a bunch of like all that stuff.
Pavicini for tiramisu, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so we're going to throw it out to our listeners. You guys who are listening, please email us questions, email us things you want to talk about, because we are at this point, if you guys want to hear more podcasts, we need your questions, we need suggestions. We're in the middle of the season, so
we're fried.
We're fried, and we do the same thing every day. I wake up, I water. Well, let's talk about what we do. You want to talk about that real quick?
How long are we into it?
We're at 40 minutes.
Oh, counting total?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's just talk about it. Here's how our day goes. I wake up at 6:30 every morning. Ashley does too. We head straight into the kitchen first and get breakfast going.
I turn on the oven. Jason starts coffee and I go let out
and
the chickens.
Ashley lets out the chickens. After that, if it depends on how many people we have, if it's a lot, I'll just cut the fruit for Ashley because I'm much quicker at it. If it's four or five people, she can handle the fruit.
But I do know how to cut a melon.
You do know how to cut a melon now. After that, it depends. I'll either run down to the garden and start my watering, and Ashley usually helps me out by pulling out the pool sweep and putting the stairs in. The garden gets watered. I'm usually back up by 8:15-ish, depending.
And I'm watering the flowers.
Ashley's watering the flowers. I make my list for grocery shopping, and I'm out of here, either over the hill to Urbana or into Piobico.
Mm-hmm.
I'll usually get back by 9:30, 10-ish, depending on how much I have to do.
Yeah, and how much you're hauling ass.
And I'm running around.
Yeah.
Ashley's cleaned up, served breakfast. She's sat down with people with maps and figured out where everyone's going for the day. And then she
From 10, around 10, I'm starting to clean up breakfast.
Yeah. She's cleaning up breakfast. I'm home at 10, usually 10:30. And then it's, what do we have to do now? Is it cleaning a room? Is it mowing the lawn? Is it
a cooking class?
Do you have a cooking class that morning? Whatever. cooking class usually ends at 1:30, or, you know, our jobs usually end at 1:30. We eat a little lunch, we take a little nap, and then we're back in it at 3:30.
Yep.
Either a cooking class in the afternoon or
starting at four,
or dinner starts getting going, or, you know, jobs. There's always something to do. If I have an evening free where it's just dinner, then I will probably get back into the garden and do some weeding or some pruning.
It looks so good.
It looks good this year. Ashley will work on her book or work on paperwork or work on responding
to emails.
Before you know it, it's 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's time to start setting the table. It's time to start getting in gear for dinner.
Start pouring aperitivos and having the music playing and lighting the candles outside.
Dinner starts at 8. It ends at usually 10:30, 11. Then you take the stairs out of the pool. You put the pool suite back in. You lock everything up.
Start the dishwasher,
and you start it.
Chickens. Seven-ish, right as dinner's about to start.
7:45-ish. We put the chickens away. Uh-huh. Because they'll go back into their inner, they'll go back into their playpen, and then all I have to do is throw some bread scraps into their inner coop where their house is, and they'll all run in there. And then we're usually asleep by 12:30,
mm-hmm.
and we start it all over again the next day. So it's a lot of repetition. It's a lot of the same thing every day. So there's not a lot of new stuff to talk about. If you guys would like us to do more podcasts, please send us your questions. I'd love to interview people. I'd love to get out there. There's so many people we want to talk to, but we just don't have the time to get out there and shove a microphone in their face. So if you guys have questions or want to know something or a recipe or whatever, you want us to talk about something, please email us. And if we can put together something to talk about, we can carve out 30 minutes to do a podcast.
Well, yeah. And if you guys like hearing Jason say like a recipe of the week or whatever of the podcast that we're doing, that's great. That can be a regular thing too. I'm curious if people like hearing the breakdown of it, or if maybe sometime we want to do a podcast where you kind of walk through some of the theories of the kitchen that
I'm sick of talking about ourselves. I want to talk about something. I want to talk about someone.
I was talking about the cooking, like the theories of the cooking.
Okay. Well, maybe we
not right
that.
Now, but.
So that's it. Yes.
Because Maki Antonio and Paola got a ice cream machine. On the road.
Oh, that's right. They got a little portable ice cream maker. So now we can start planning to do gelato classes either in Fano at their place or have them throw it in their car and bring it out here.
Yeah. So
it's something that we can now kind of start to collaborate with them about.
Mm-hmm, which would be a really fun podcast to interview them again about that. But that's later down the road.
All right, Ash, bring it home. Where can people find us?
All right. It's time to wrap it up. You can find us online at latavlamarque.com, on our blog spot, latavlamarque.blogspot.com, on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, YouTube, Vimeo, all at latavlamarque, LATAVOLAMARCHE. And before I forget real quick too, the documentary that we were a part of for the students, the filmmaking students from America, the journalism students, sorry, is up online on Vimeo, and I posted it on our Facebook page. So I'll have to post it again somewhere else. But a nice little student made kind of documentary on the food, wine, coffee, and
About Urbino.
Yeah, about surrounding Urbino, and we're in that at the end, which is really nice.
All right, very good. So thank you so much for downloading the podcast. We will come do another one whenever we have a chance. And from beautiful, wonderful, sunny, gorgeous Italy, thank you so much for downloading, and we will speak to you again soon.
Arrivederci.
Ciao, ciao.